Praise the Lord. It's time to look to the Word of God today. Worthy is the Lamb to receive wisdom, to receive wisdom. Let's take our scripture from Revelation 5 and verse 12 today. These words were quickened in my heart a few weeks ago, and I'm trusting the Lord for an unfolding word. Seven things that are mentioned here. The cry in the heavens saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is Jesus our Lord to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Seven things that the Lamb is worthy to receive. And we have looked at the first two in the last messages. Worthy is the Lamb to receive power, to receive rulership, and the nations of the world would be gathered to him. Worthy is the Lamb to receive riches, the finances of the earth. He is so worthy to receive our silver and gold for his kingdom. And today we're going to look at the aspect of wisdom. Worthy is the Lamb to receive wisdom. What is this speaking of? Worthy is the Lamb to receive wisdom. The Lamb of God is all wise. He has all the wisdom in himself that there can be. What does it mean for the Lamb to receive wisdom? I believe it means that the Lord is looking for a wise people, that a people would respond to him in wisdom, that a people would reach out to him in true wisdom that he is worthy to receive. Now in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, Ephesians 5:15, the Bible says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time or buying up every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now I'm asking the Holy Spirit today for our eyes to open, and for us to understand, that God would give us understanding. He says, do not walk as fools, but as wise, as those that carefully watch over their time and their situations. This is the wisdom of the Lord. When the Bible says walk circumspectly, it means carefully. That's the marginal. Walk carefully. Walk precisely. Trace the course of all things accurately. And don't walk as fools. Don't be unwise, but be wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, there is a wisdom that is of the earth, and there is a wisdom that is from heaven. And these two are very distinct, and I pray for understanding today. In James chapter 3, in verses 15 to 17, James speaks of these two kinds of wisdom. The first wisdom, he said, this wisdom does not descend from above. This is a wisdom of earth. It is a wisdom of earth, but it's of earth. He said, this wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly. It's sensual or natural, and it can turn devilish. The wisdom of this world. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Eight qualities are mentioned. The wisdom that is from above. So we understand today very clearly from the Word of God, there is a wisdom that is of the natural man. It's of the earth. But there is a wisdom that comes from God. It comes down from above. It's totally different than the wisdom of this world. And we must understand the difference. And today to examine our lives to what level of wisdom we're living in. Are we walking in the wisdom of man? It is wisdom. Or are we walking in the wisdom of God? And perhaps today we can set our hearts more to the wisdom of God than we ever have. Satan came to Eve in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6 and Adam. And he said, eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because it's a tree that is designed to make you wise. Designed to make you wise. Genesis 3, 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave to her husband with her, and he did eat also. There were two trees in the garden in the original paradise, Adam and Eve, our parents. There was the tree of life, which represented dependence on God. And if man would eat of the tree of life, he would live forever. It was his dependence, his surrender to God. But there was another tree in that garden. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord said, do not eat of it, for in the day you eat thereof, you will die. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan came and tempted the woman and the man, and they partook of that fruit. And one of the reasons for their doing that was they said, it's a tree desired to make one wise. You mean we can be wise and run our own life now? You mean we can take hold of wisdom and not have to be accountable to God? And in many respects, maybe all respects, that is where the unbelieving world is today. They want wisdom. They want to be wise. They want to be able to govern their affairs and have a good living and know how to order their life on this planet. They want to be wise, but they don't want God in the mix. That's the realm of natural wisdom. Now, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not just the tree of the knowledge of evil, or man would destroy himself. There is good in this world. There is a good, wise way of the natural realm, and men walk in it. That good is the wisdom of men. But there is also the evil, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The evil is the foolishness. So the natural realm today, as we can see all about us, is a mixture of good and evil. It's a realm of wisdom and foolishness. But God has come to us with the wisdom of God. And we are not those who eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That is the carnal state. That is the fallen state. We have been lifted out of that state in the person of Jesus Christ. And we now eat of the tree of life, and we will live forever. Jesus said to the churches in Revelation 2:7, he says, he that overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. The apostle John said, who is he that overcomes but he that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? We have put our faith in the Lord. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We are overcomers in crisis and working it out in process. But Jesus said to those overcomers, I will give to eat of the tree of life, the tree of life. And all through the scripture, when you read of the tree, there is a veiled reference to the cross of Jesus Christ, the cross of Calvary, and to the power of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. We are eating of the tree of life, but there is a realm of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, Proverbs 3 and verse 7 and 8 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So we understand again that we can be wise in our own eyes. Man can walk in a level of wisdom, and man can order his life in a remarkable way on this planet. But it's a realm of man's wisdom. Then there is a wisdom that is from above. Now we all understand that there as well is a realm of foolishness. And the Bible says, don't walk as fools, but be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is for you. And make sure you walk precisely and carefully and trace out all things in a proper manner so that you live a life in the wisdom of God. But there is a realm of foolishness. The Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, no, God, I don't want you involved in my life. No, God. The Bible speaks about foolish talking and actions. Works of the flesh, that's foolishness. And it's mixed in with the wisdom of this world. In Proverbs 7, it speaks of the foolish young man. And there's a personification of immorality. And it says, I saw one simple among the sons of men. I saw a foolish young man, and he was seduced by immorality. And he went down to his ruin and to his hurt. Immorality, fornication, is foolishness. It's a foolish way of life. There are many destructive ways of life. There are many behaviors that we can undertake that are destructive, and that is a realm of foolishness. And that's why the Bible says, don't walk as fools, but walk as wise and understand the will of the Lord. In Luke 12, Jesus told of a man who accumulated great wealth and possessions. They weren't wrong in themselves. That man was blessed, but instead of being rich toward God and pouring out those riches, he took them to himself and he said, I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns and storehouses. I will lay up my goods and I will take my ease and I will live out my life in luxury and peace for the rest of my days. And the Bible says, thou fool, you fool, your life will be taken from you. Spiritual ease is foolishness. Spiritual ease is foolishness. We must be vigilant. We must be involved with the work of the Lord. We must be involved with the call of God. Now, the Bible is drawing us off the foolishness of this world and the wisdom of this world into the wisdom of God, and how perfect and how beautiful that wisdom of God is. Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we see this distinction between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5. The Apostle Paul said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony or the mystery of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is the power of God. That is the work of the cross. That is the benefit of the death, burial, and resurrection. Paul says, I didn't come with excellency of speech. I didn't come with the wisdom of man. I came to you with the message of the power and wisdom of God. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And I can understand that because you're handling the holy things of the Lord and trying to feed them out into people's lives. He says, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Wow. Is it possible for our faith to stand in the wisdom of men? Yes, it is. Where we're operating at a man's wisdom level instead of the wisdom of God and the power of God. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What a difference. The wisdom of this world and then the wisdom that comes from God. Now, man has wisdom. It's the wisdom of man. It's wise. It's beneficial. It's principled. It's good. But it's not the wisdom of God, and it's not the power of God. How does this man's wisdom manifest? What is man's wisdom? Man's wisdom is revealed in this way. It is motivational speaking. It is the power of positive thinking. It's good character quality and good family principles and good family life. It's charitableness and kindness and good ethics and a strong work ethic. These are the principles of men. That's man's wisdom, and it is wisdom. And there's not a person here who would say that that is foolishness, and neither does the Bible. That is the wisdom of man. But if that's all we have to offer, then we don't have anything more than the world to offer. But there is another wisdom, the wisdom of God. As our forefathers told us, beware of motivational speakers and humanistic preachers and moralistic teachers, lest somehow your spiritual life settle down into that realm, and you never do live in the wisdom and power and glory of God in your life. Paul said, I did not come to you as a motivational speaker. It's interesting in the last few years as I've listened to conversations and comments. It used to be that when people spoke of a minister of the Lord, that he was a man of God or he's an anointed servant of God. He carries the word. He's a preacher of the word of God. You know what it's come to in the last few years? He's a good communicator. He's a good communicator. He's entertaining. He's funny. He's interesting. Paul said, I did not come to you with motivational speaking. I did not come to entertain you with my words. He said, I did not come in this level. I came to you with the wisdom of God, declaring to you the power of God. And what a difference it is. What a difference it is. He said, I came to you with the message of the power of the cross of Christ. Now let's go to verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 2. He said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, or in wonders. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. The things that God has prepared for them that love him. This comes by divine wisdom. This comes by the Holy Spirit into the hearts of people. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The things that are freely given to us from God. The wonders of the Lord's presence and his life. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Holy Spirit compares the word of God, passage with passage, doesn't he? Now that verse 13 is so important. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. It's very distinct, the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. Now, when we have the wisdom of God in us, we will do many wonderful things, but we will do them in the power of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. The wisdom of God is Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's the power of a living Christ within us. As the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ is living in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, in this natural world, I live by the faith of the Son of God, or faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We're living in the power of God. And the Apostle Paul wants to make it so clear, and the Holy Spirit wants to make it so clear to us today, that we need to live in the wisdom of God and not simply the wisdom of men. We can have nice families, and we can have good jobs, and we can have a suitable lifestyle. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we can begin to equate that as Christianity. But that is no different than what the world has. The wisdom of God is different. The wisdom of God has the power of God in it, where we rise to live in the power of a living Christ within us, and it makes all the difference in the world. Now Paul said, he said, I don't want your faith to stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I don't want you to live at the realm of motivational speaking and good thoughts and good behavior and self-discipline, and I'll order my life according to the wisdom that is found in this world. He said, I don't want your faith to stand in the wisdom of men. I want your faith to stand in the power of God and in the wisdom of God. So that you get up in the morning and you say, praise the Lord. And you say, good morning, Lord. And you begin to speak in tongues and you begin to pray and call out on the Holy Spirit and you get filled with the Holy Spirit and with faith and with the knowledge of God and you go out and walk in the power of God. Hallelujah. That's the wisdom of God. We're living by a different life. Living by a different life. And there we are doing many things, but we're doing them by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not trying to work by the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of God has come into our lives. Now this morning, I have 3 points. Number one, live in the power of Christ, who is the wisdom of God. Live in the power of Christ, the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Now unto the Lamb be wisdom. Unto the Lamb that was slain be wisdom. I want to live out of his life so he can receive glory to who he is. Jesus Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is wisdom the world doesn't know anything about. They have their natural realm, but we have a spiritual realm, the wisdom that comes from above. Or 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom. He's the power of God and he is the wisdom of God and he is living inside of us. Christ, who is our life. Again, Galatians 2:20, Christ lives in you. Christ lives in you. And we need to draw on Jesus Christ, the living Savior within us. That he is personable. That he is within us. That he is intimate with us. And we draw on his very life and on his character. The Bible says the first Adam was made a living soul. He was of the natural realm, a living soul. But the last Adam, Jesus Christ, is made a life-giving spirit. There is a life-giving spirit within us. And this is something that is separate from our Bible reading, our worship, our prayer. We have a direct contact with Jesus Christ, the life of God within us. And he is the wisdom of God. And we are to live unto him and out from him. Jesus said to the people of his day that were reading the Bible, he says, you search the scriptures and you think you have life in them. But he said, you won't come to me that you might receive life. It's one thing to read the Bible, and we're going to come to that in a moment, but it's another thing to directly receive from Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Receive his wisdom, receive who he is, and be strengthened in the power of a living relationship with God. Jesus Christ is our wisdom, number one. Number two today, live in the power of the word of wisdom, the Bible. Live in the power of the word. This is the word, capitals, of wisdom. The word of wisdom. Live in the power of the word of wisdom, the Bible. Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. We don't live by bread alone. We live by the words of God. As this wisdom comes into our hearts and into our lives. Psalm 104:15 says, there is a bread which strengthens man's heart. Doesn't say his body, his flesh. It says there is a bread that strengthens man's heart. And that bread is the word of God. That the Lord would make us know that we live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. That's where our life is. That's where we really live. That's where we rise above the natural realm. It's in the words of the Lord. And so we memorize the Word of God, and we read the Bible out loud, and we proclaim the promises of God. And as we do, something happens inside of us. We enter into the life of God. There's a life-giving Word that begins to develop and begins to grow within us. And all of a sudden, we're living by the power of the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God and the power of God within our lives. This Bible is not only wisdom to read, it is wisdom that lives. We don't go to the Bible to simply find wisdom for our lives. It is wisdom. It is wisdom. It is the power of God to those who believe. And as we proclaim it, and as we confess it, and as we stir it up in our hearts, we live in the wisdom and power of God. And we no longer have to say, well, you know, I shouldn't be grumpy, and I shouldn't be miserable today, and I shouldn't complain and criticize and curse today. You will be so filled with the wisdom of God that you'll automatically be praising the Lord. That's the wisdom and power of God. You won't say, well, I really should do some good works and be compassionate and show some random acts of kindness. You won't even have to think about that, because the love of God will be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And like Jesus, you will be anointed of the Holy Ghost, and you will go about doing good and seeking to heal all that are oppressed of the devil. This is the wisdom. This is the power of God. This is far above motivational speaking. This is far above humanism. This is the power of God through His Word and through the living Christ within our lives. Hallelujah. Number three, live in the power of the Word of wisdom, the answer of the Holy Spirit. The answer of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 8, the Bible says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, every person. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to every person to profit, for all to profit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. But to one is given the word of wisdom. The Holy Spirit wants to put a word of wisdom in our life. Now this comes from heaven. This comes by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaching us as we walk through this life. We're not simply drawing on wise principles and success principles and how to run good family life and how to order our behavior. We are getting information and direction from the Holy Spirit for our lives. In times when we are perplexed and don't know what to do, and maybe we've gone to this person or that, and one person says, well, you should do this, and another says, you should do that. One person says, well, I was in your situation, this is what I did, and it worked out for me, and another person says, well, yeah, that's good, but that's not what I did. I did something else, and it worked out for me. And so you seek counsel, and you read books, and you're trying to get answers, but I want to say this morning that the Holy Spirit is waiting for us to seek Him for a word of wisdom for our lives. For our situation, for our predicament, for our struggle, for our turmoil, for our family situation. Oh, I thank the Lord so many times as I look back in my life where I didn't know what to do and calling on the Lord, not knowing an answer, not knowing exactly what to do. And then in that flash of lightning, that split second, the Holy Spirit puts a word in your heart, and all of a sudden you have peace and you can lift your head and you say to yourself, I know how to walk and I know what I have to say and I now know what I have to do. That is a word of wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit wants to speak to each of us in our trouble, in our turmoil, in our perplexity, and help us. Now, we don't always get a miracle. We don't always get a success, but we get an answer for what we need and a wisdom from the Holy Spirit to guide our lives. And all of a sudden, we can respond to the Lord, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive wisdom. I didn't know how to walk before this, but the Holy Spirit's come, and Lord, now I know how to glorify you in this situation. I think of the prophet Habakkuk, so perplexed because he saw that there was going to be turmoil and war in the land. The Babylonians were coming down on Judah. And he saw there would be economic downturn and famine, and there'd be destruction and devastation everywhere. And he was so perplexed. He said, I'm going to go up into my watchtower, watch and pray. He said, I'm going up into the presence of the Lord. I'm going to the place of prayer, and I'm going to seek God, and I'm going to ask God about this so I can receive some wisdom how to handle my life in the days to come. And when he was in the watchtower, the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord told him what was coming, but the Lord gave him a word. And Habakkuk came down out of that watchtower in 3:17, and he said these words. Even though the fig tree does not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields bring forth no fruit, though the flocks be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stall, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He didn't get a miracle deliverance. That country went to the chute. That country went down in economic turmoil and judgment. But there was Habakkuk. He was saying, I've got the strength of the Lord in me. I have the feet of a deer. I can rise up into the presence of God because I received a word from the Lord. I received a word from the Lord. Just one word from you, and the mountains start to move. No word of God is without power. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which gives to all men liberally. To all men. There's no one outside of this promise of God. For whatever situation we're in, whatever struggle, difficulty, family, relational problems, there's no one without an answer from the Lord. For he said, ask, and God who gives liberally and upbraideth not, reproacheth not. God will never push us away and resist us and say, why are you crying out to me? Why are you calling out to me again? He will never push us away. As long as we're in difficulty and crying out to him, his arms are open to receive us. Let him ask of God, which gives to all men liberally, and it shall be given him. God will give us wisdom in his time. No, it's in his time. Sometimes when we're calling on the Lord and we have a dilemma or a perplexity, sometimes there is an immediate answer from the Lord. The Holy Spirit speaks to you, and you know exactly what to say and what to do. But other times there is a prolonged season where we must seek the Lord before an answer comes. But the answer will always come from the Lord. And when that answer comes from the Lord, when God gives you that answer, then you need to be true to that answer. Because sometimes when that answer comes, people try and draw you off that answer in conversation and giving advice. But when the Lord gives you an answer, you are not to go beyond the word of the Lord to do more or less. You say, God has given me an answer, and what he has said to me, that is what I will do, and that is what I will speak. That is what I will speak. The Apostle Paul in Acts 27, in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, tossed by the winds, and that ship was breaking apart. The Apostle Paul, while others were distraught, not knowing what to do, trying every means possible to keep that ship afloat. The Apostle Paul went into some fasting prayers into the presence of God, and all of a sudden the word of wisdom came to him, and he stood up on the deck, and he now took charge of the ship. And he said, there stood by me this night an angel, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Wow. There stood by me this night. We've been tossed with the winds for weeks. We've been going up and down. The ship is groaning and creaking. We've had to put cables around the ship to hold it intact. We don't know where we're going to end up, what's going to happen. But there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And he said, Paul, fear not, for you must appear before Caesar. And God said, lo, I've given all them that sail with you, 276 persons on board. He says, I've given them to you all. Not one will perish. And Paul stood up and said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I believe that it will be. I believe God, and that it will be exactly as he told me. They said, well, Paul, you know, this ship could suffer shipwreck. And Paul said, it will. Be of good cheer. Paul, this ship's going down. This ship's going to be broken asunder. He said, I know. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God. He had a word from the Lord. And when you have a word from the Lord, it doesn't matter if the ship goes down. Not one hair of your head will perish, and God will give everything that he said he will give to you. That is a word of wisdom. How can you stand so calm in the storm, in the raging ocean that's all about you, buffeted by winds, sails are torn apart? How can you stand in such peace? Because you have a word of wisdom from the Lord. And with that word of wisdom, we serve the Lord. Now today, man's wisdom and the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man is of the earthly realm. Sometimes Christians fall into the realm of the wisdom of man rather than living in the wisdom and power of God. And when Christians fall and slip into the wisdom of man, something happens to them. They begin to think like natural people. They begin to walk like people of this world. And there comes disinterest with the things of God. And they get disillusioned. And all of a sudden, they don't care about going to church so much. The zeal of God isn't in them. And their desire for prayer and for worship wanes because they've fallen into the realm of the wisdom of man. They say, well, my life's good. I've got my finances. I go on vacations. My family's good. Everything's in order. They're walking in the wisdom of men. They are not living in that dynamic power of Christ, which the Bible says is the power of an endless life. Hallelujah. That we don't live after the law of a natural commandment, but we live in the power of an endless life, that life of Christ inside of us, Hebrews 7:16. Jesus said to his generation, he says, you err. You do not know the power of God. You do not know the scriptures, nor the power of God. I want to know the power of God, don't you? I want to know that wisdom of God that lifts us far beyond the natural realm. We don't need to be buoyed up by pep rallies and motivational thoughts and success principles. That's the wisdom of man, and it's wisdom. But we're living in a far higher realm. We're living by the power of God, and we manifest his life in all dimensions of our life and being. Now this morning as we close, I want to bring a scripture, Isaiah 51:11. Isaiah 51:11. This is a very important verse to me right now. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. I want to speak this word out into the air because I believe the Holy Spirit wants it spoken. It says, therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. Where have they been? They have been in Babylon. They've been in captivity. They've been bound in with the system of this world. It doesn't say, let the unredeemed return. It's not talking about unsaved people. It's talking about believers that have slipped back into the ways of the world, into the wisdom of the world. They've hung their harps of worship on the weeping willows at the rivers of Babylon. They can't even sing the Lord's song. They've forsaken the house of God. They have no burning fire for the word of God in their hearts. They have no power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They're living in a natural realm, man's wisdom, ordering their life in man's wisdom. But I felt the Spirit of God say to me, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. That God is going to do something in our culture and in our time where so many of the redeemed of the Lord are bound into the world and the spirit of Babylon and the captivity of natural wisdom, and they do not live in that power and glory and glow of Jesus Christ and the power of the word in their lives. And the Lord says, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. They're going to come back to the house of God. They're going to come with singing unto Zion. They're going to say, I want to be back in the presence of the Lord. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm so dry. I'm so parched. I've been living by principles of this world. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of God. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I used to wonder about all these believers who no longer attend church, and if they do, they only want to be Sunday morning attenders in most places. Give me an hour in the presence of God, that's enough. So bound into the world's ways and the entertainments and pleasures and lifestyle of the world. And this has perplexed me for many years, Lord. And a week ago, the Lord put this word in my heart. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. And if you ask me today, Pastor Ron, what about those Christians who are staying at home and sleeping in and not concerned about the house of the Lord? You'll only hear one word from me. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. They're going to come with singing. As Jeremiah prophesied in 50 and verse 4, they are going to say, come. There's going to be a spirit of weeping upon them. They're going to say, come, let us go back to the house of the Lord. Let's go back to Zion. Let's break off the bondage of the world. Let's break off this negativity. Let's break off this low living. Let's go back to Zion in the presence of God, where we're lifted high in the presence of the Lord. It says they'll come with weeping, and they will say, let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that will never be forgotten again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. No longer by the wisdom of man, but by the wisdom and power of God. Living Christ, the living Christ inside of every person, the living Christ in power, the living Christ in character, the living Christ in integrity, this living Christ in worship and praise inside of us, Lord. So today, Lord, we receive the wisdom of God. We receive Jesus Christ within us, the living Savior. Where we've been living by our own strength, we take on the life of Jesus Christ. Father, we take on the power of the living word, the word of wisdom, your scriptures. We speak them, we declare them, we prophesy them, Lord, that they be life in us, O Lord, and we live in the power of the word of wisdom, the word of God. And Lord, as you speak to us, as we seek you, and you give us a word of wisdom for our situations, and we know what to say, and we know what to do all of a sudden, because we have an answer, the Holy Spirit, to be faithful to that word. And now, Lord, today we offer our lives back to you in the wisdom of God. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom. Lord, let us be a people of wisdom, Lord, living in the wisdom and power of God, the power of the crucified life, the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ within us, vibrant and holy and strong and principled for you, Father. Spiritual men and women that walk in the power of God. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.